I told the wife the other day, I said, I need to go to Walmart's and buy a few things, and this morning may be a little bit different. I've got some visuals. It's here in the sack. Some of you have been wondering what's in the sack. She said, what do you need that for? I said, for Sunday morning sermon, I got a message to preach. I hope I can preach it as good as I was at 1 o'clock this morning. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Begin reading about verse number 5, and if you will, keep your Bibles open. The Bible says, for we preach not of ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But listen to this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The God that created the universe, that hung the stars and in the sky and hung the moon and the sun, caused it to shine. That same God, the Apostle Paul said, chose an earthen vessel to dwell in. There was a little girl that was coming home from Sunday school class, driving home with her parents, and she said, she got a kind of a troubled look on her face, and she asked her dad, said, Dad, I want to know something. Just how tall is Jesus? He said, I don't know. The little girl was persistent. She said, but I got to know. He said, ask your mother. Your dads are good about doing that. Pawned it off on Mom. She said, well, Mom, just how big is Jesus? She said, I don't know. Maybe he was 5 foot, 6 foot, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't ever read where he was, you know, exceptionally tall. And she said, well, I'm only about 3 foot. And my Sunday school teacher said, if I had Jesus in my heart, in my life, that he comes and dwells in me when I get saved, shouldn't he be sticking out somewhere? I think I could stop right there and preach. But the Apostle Paul said that he chose to live in earthen vessels. Well, I got interested in earthen vessels. So I went down to our local Claremore Walmart, and I went shopping. Now I'm going to put these down here where you guys can see them. They say that this is terracotta. That just means clay. It's a clay pot. Look at that one. There's another one. And I've got, hang on just a second. I didn't just stop there. Can y'all see these okay? They come in all shapes and all sizes. I didn't buy all that they had there. I just bought a little bit of variety, and I didn't go real extravagant. I think I paid 97 cents for that one. But he chose something as fragile as a clay pot to dwell in. Some of these are small. Some of these are medium size, and I've got one there that's a little larger. I don't know which one you can identify with, and I've got one that's kind of short and squatty. But I've done that for a reason. I want you to understand that clay pots, vessels comes in all shapes and all sizes. Matter of fact, there's one there that I dug out of some of Trey and Shelby's stuff that they left at the house. It's older than the rest of them. There's some clay pots that are, I don't know how old they are. They may be up 80, 90, 100 years. I don't know. But they come in all sizes and forms and shapes and all levels of experiences. But that's what he chose to dwell in. The littlest to the biggest. He come in. You know, men are built different than women. Would you agree with that? I mean, if I go to the store and I need a white shirt, which I don't do a lot of shopping, I'm going to go in the store, I'm going to look down the aisle, the first white shirt that I find in my size, I've got it, I'm headed to the cash register, I'm checking out, I'm going home. My wife goes to the store to buy a white shirt, it is an experience. It is an adventure. She'll look around the clothes rack 15 times and she'll go back and settle on the first one she looked at the first time. She could have just got it and left and went. Would you put up that first image? I've got some pictures I want to show you too, if that's all right. Bear with me. I'm going to preach here in just a minute. We got some technical difficulties. We may have to get a younger clay vessel back there to work the computer. There we go. Can you see that? That is called a potty pot. It's a clay pot with some fake dirt over it to hide a toilet bowl plunger in your bathroom. I don't know why we got to hide it. Everybody's got to have one. You go to that next image, if you will. That is a potty cow. Okay, go ahead and go to the next one, if you will. They're having trouble seeing that. I didn't download them very big. My computer was giving me some problems. That's still the potty cow. Throw on that flash drive back here, brother. If you can't get it there, Brother Keith, that's okay. You kind of get the ideal of it. They even have, I downloaded a picture of a potty pig. They even have potty people, believe it or not. There's all kinds of things that you can do with clay pots. But I got to thinking about that old song that Dottie Rambo wrote. There's the pig. The holy hills of home. She talks about this house of flesh is but a prison. Bars of bone hold my soul. But the doors of clay are going to burst wide open. One of these days, I'm going to go home. This house of clay is going to give up. We're just a clay pot. They have many uses. I've seen people decorate them. They'll decorate a little small pot like I got here, and they'll put their car keys in them when they come in from outside. Or they'll organize them and put ink pens in them. You can decorate them and do many things with them. But a clay pot, a vessel, God chose to dwell in it. I've got a few things that I want to share with you this morning about these clay pots. I want to have you go first to the book of Psalms. I want to try to keep it in the book this morning. Psalms chapter 31. This is a psalm that David wrote whenever Saul was trying to kill him. He was pursuing him. Begin reading about verse number 9. I want you to look something here. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eyes is consumed with grief, and yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief." Now, wait a minute. Let's stop right here just a minute. This is the same little David that whenever the Philistine giant was on the battlefield, defiling the God of the children of Israel, took up his little rock, his little sling and the five smooth stones, and went out and faced the giant. Took his own sword and cut his head off. But he said, "All of my days are filled with grief. And my years with sighing. And my strength faileth because of mine iniquity. And my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors. My enemies hate me, and even my neighbors won't have anything to do with me." That's what he's saying here. "And a fear to mine acquaintance." They that did see me without fled from me. Listen to verse 12. "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." You know, it's one thing to be a beautiful pot. Shelby, is it okay if I use this one? I'll use this one. The old one? You know, sometimes we think that preachers, Sunday school teachers, different ones in the church, we never face problems. But you're looking at a man that was anointed by God to lead. And he said, "My life is as a broken vessel." You know, while I was in Walmart's, I bought something else. It says on it, "Hyper tough." Sometimes life gets tough. Sometimes life is hard. Don't worry, Chris and Kim. I'm trying to keep it in the bag. Sometimes we get broken. Sometimes it hurts. old, young, little, experienced, just young in the Lord. Sometimes our life is like a broken vessel. I know we can talk about Jeremiah and his trip to the potter's house. I preached about that. But this morning, I'm talking to you about a broken vessel. I've been broken. But one thing I found out is God loves the broken. God has a unique calling for the broken. Is that scripture? Let's go to Job chapter 2 and verse number 7. You'll find out by the time we get here, Job has already had a battle on his hands. He's lost his family. He's lost his cattle. He's lost all of his livestock. Job has lost basically everything. The devil comes to God and says, God, let me touch him. He says, you can't touch him, but you can, you can touch him, but you can't take his life. By the time we get to verse number 7, he says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took unto him a potsherd to scrape himself from withal. And he sat down among the ashes. You know what Job done? He took a piece of a broken pot and began to scrape himself, his sores, to get comfort. You know, God can use the broken. Some of y'all are looking at me kind of funny, but you take somebody that has been broken, somebody that has suffered and went through cancer and come out and recovered, they can talk to somebody that is currently going through it. You take somebody that has been sick. They know what it means to hear the phone ring and somebody on the other end saying, I'm praying for you. Maybe fix somebody a dinner that has just got out of the hospital that is unable to get up and take care of their own. Brother Robert Harper, this is for you. Most of the time it's chicken. That's kind of an inside joke. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But you know, on that same note, I'm going to get back to it. I'm going to get on a rabbit trail just for a minute. But when I started preaching, there was somebody come to me and said, brother, if you're going to preach the word, you got to learn to eat the bird. I grew up in a preacher's house. I grew up on fried chicken. You look at me, this is not a belt around my middle. This is a leather fence around a chicken graveyard. I like my share of fried chicken. But sometimes the broken, we can understand, and God can use us in a special way. God has given judgment. in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 30 and verse number 14, I'm going to tell you the context of this scripture, and then I'm going to take it out of context slightly to tell you what I want to tell you. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 14, God's given judgment against the nation of Judah. God describes Judah as a broken clay pot. Verse 14, he says, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces, and he shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take from the fire of the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. There's two uses that Jeremiah gives for the breaking of a broken clay pot. The first is found to take fire away from the hearth. You see, in biblical times, whenever maybe the fire had went out in your hearth, you had no fire in your house, you could go to your neighbor's house and take a broken clay pot and get some of the coals out of their hearth. Take it back to your hearth and empty the contents of the broken clay vessel into your hearth and to start a fire back in your house. There have been times that I have seen that somebody else gets up and testifies and tells what the Lord has done. I've seen the broken vessel. I've seen what God has done. And the fire that they had in their heart lit a fire in mine. I see the second use is for the water. They would take a broken piece of a vessel, a clay pot, and put it next to the well. They didn't use the best ladles that they had. Just like today, somebody would steal them. They would take a broken piece of a clay pot. They would pull the bucket up from the bottom of the well, take that broken piece of a clay pot, and begin to drink the water. Broken vessels. Do you remember in John chapter number 4? The woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman at the well. She was a Samaritan, strike number 1. She was a woman, strike number 2. She was a woman that had many husbands, strike number 3. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, she was broken. Many people would look at her and say, there is no hope, no use. But Jesus told her, says, I will give of you to drink from the well of living water. He uses broken vessels. She went and told all that he told me all the things that I... She went and witnessed and used... God uses broken vessels. In John chapter number 12, I know I'm getting into overtime, but please bear with me. You know this story? Verse number 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. I want you to look at this. The Bible doesn't go into specifics. But she had to break the vessel. and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Judas said, we could have sold that. A broken vessel will reveal your relationship with God. I've seen people that I thought was rock solid in church. Good, I'm talking about people that I could bank on. A vessel gets broken. A loved one passes away. Someone is taken out in an untimely death and there's no explanation for it. A broken vessel. A relationship that goes south. A broken vessel will reveal your relationship with Christ. When Jesus is all you have, you'll find out that Jesus is all you need. The other thing that I noticed from this passage of Scripture is that brokenness attracts an audience. You ever go to a restaurant on a Friday or Saturday night, whenever it's busy, and a waitress drops a dish? There's a silence that comes over the crowd. Everybody stops and looks. What just happened? Today, is June the 28th. Sis, you know where I'm going with this. 12 years ago, Devon, you asked me a question on this day. Not this day, but in May. Today was our dad's birthday. As we stood in that hospital room and Devon said, turned to me and said, what are we going to do? Church is tomorrow. I said, we're going to have church. God uses the broken. Some of you, a lot of you probably don't know, I listen to different preaching. I know Jared, he likes to listen to music. I like to listen to preaching. When I'm by myself, I'll listen to different ones, and I use some of that as a tool, just like others use commentaries. And I'll admit it, I like preaching. I like music, but I like preaching. And one night, I was listening to Brother Mike McCoy. Some of you may know him. He's a good Christian man. Preaches sound doctrine. He's from back east. And Christmas night in 2022, his brother, Trent, 55 years old, 2022 Christmas night fell on a Sunday. Trent was 55. His wife Karen was 54. They were celebrating Christmas with their son and his wife. They had two daughters. They had a German shepherd that slept on the front porch. They had an electric heater out on the front porch to keep the front porch warm. And to the best that they could tell, the dog somehow had knocked the heater over. In the early morning on Monday, the fire spread through the house. It killed Trent, his wife Karen. Their kids and their grandkids, six of them perished in that fire. Mike McCoy, if you go and you listen to the sermon that he preached on the previous Wednesday night, you'll find maybe 100, 150 different views, downloads of the sermon that he preached. But if you go to the sermon the Wednesday after the fire, he preached a message. He entitled it, Struggling in the Storm. Thousands upon thousands of downloads. What are you saying? I'm saying whenever a vessel is broken, it will draw an audience. It will draw a crowd. People stop to pay attention. Mike McCoy had to preach his brother's funeral. You don't just stop right there. But as he sat there, and there was two caskets up front that had six bodies. His only brother, his fishing partner. Mike began to preach that sermon. And he talked about preaching. While he was preaching, he talked about his brother Trent, about them fishing, and he would tell Trent, "I need to go to get going. We need to call it, you know, wind it up. I got to get to visitation. I got to do this at the church or do that." And Trent would say, "Just one more cast." And he said he would be disappointed in me today, as I stand here preaching his funeral, if I did not give just one more cast. Mike McCoy gave an invitation that morning. There was somebody called Mike a few weeks later and said, "I listened to your sermon of your brother's funeral and his wife and the family online." She said, "You never met me and you'll never see me. As far as I know, we've never crossed paths." But she said, "I want to let you know that during listening to that your sermon, I bowed my head and I asked Jesus Christ into my heart and life." And she said, and it don't stop there. She said, "I know of seven others that have given their heart and life to Jesus." He can use broken vessels. I thought about Tim Tebow. Many of you know that story. His mom and dad met while attending the University of Florida. They already had four children. Moved to the Philippines to serve as missionaries. During her pregnancy, she became ill. And she got dysentery. The doctors told her that she was pregnant and she needed to have an abortion because of the medicine that they had given her resulted in the placenta abruption. Basically, it causes, it deprives the brain and the fetus from oxygen necessary for the development of the child. Being a God-fearing parent, she chose to go ahead and have the pregnancy. You know the rest of the story of Tim Tebow and the lives that he has touched. God can use broken vessels. I've got one more passage I want to go to. The book of Acts, chapter 27. Verse number 41. You know this story. Paul is going to Rome, and the vessel is falling apart. And the Bible says, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. There's some broken pieces that will help you make it home. If you come to church this morning and you look for a perfect pastor, you're at the wrong place. I've had my share of problems. And I don't get. Joey and I, we don't share a lot. But I'm going to get just a little bit personal this morning, if that's okay. I begin to question, am I even fit to be a pastor? I'm just laying it out there. I'm being honest with you. Some of you know the struggles that we went through. You know some of what we've been through. Like I say, we're kind of private. We don't share a lot. I've always said that if I save the whole world and lose my family, I've failed. You know what the devil done? He took that and he's used that against me. Some time back, I began to listen to an old elderly preacher. Brother Virgil, I was at the end of my road. Preacher out of North Carolina, never met the guy, don't know anything about him. His name is Bill Vaughn. He got up that day to preach a day service at camp meeting. You know how they have day services and night service. Usually the day service is just they're preaching to other preachers and the singers that's there. But that day he began to preach to me. He preached a message. And I'm going to be honest with you. He preached the message that I just preached to you. I was broken. And when he got through preaching, he told the story that his two granddaughters driving down the highway had just met a truck that had went left to center. Brother Isaac, he was broken. When I begin to look at my ministry and how God had used me, and I realize that that is when my ministry changed. It's whenever I realize that God uses broken people. The second time that my ministry, I feel like it may have went to the next level, was a year ago, next month, when I was blind for 12 days and could see absolutely nothing. Brother Jared, I was broke. A preacher that can't read your Bible. Somebody that I couldn't get up on the stage for stumbling and tripping. I couldn't see the crowd or the... what do you... 57 years old, and how am I going to learn to read Braille? I was broke. I'll never forget. I began to pray. And I began to pray. This is the words that I prayed. I've never shared this with anybody. But God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you saved me. The blood that you shed on the old rugged cross cleansed me of all of my sins. I'm not perfect, but I know you saved me. You done a work in me. And Lord, I know the same blood that whenever that soldier pierced your side and forthwith came blood and water, that same blood that you bore on your back by the stripes that they beat you for the healing of our bodies has the same power. The blood that reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley has never lost its power. Amen. God uses broken vessels, not in spite of, but because of. If you're here this morning, and I know I've preached way too long, but if you're here today and the devil's trying to tell you that you're too old, you're too young, you're too big, you're too small, you're too broken, I'm here to tell you God can use you in a special way. This morning, I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Come back to the music, if you will. And I'm going to invite you to do something different after service. The same thing that Bill Vaughn done. I wasn't there, or I would have got one. Brother Isaac, but I'm going to leave that broken pot. And if you want to come up this morning and get a piece of that broken pot to put as a reminder that God uses broken vessels, take it home and set it on your desk or up off the top of the refrigerator. You're welcome to it. But I hope today that you'll remember that God uses broken things. Stand with me if you will. The altar's open. Maybe someone has a need to pray.